Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is alive, that it is active, that it's alive because it's the truth. And it's a truth that needs to interact with our lives, and that we need to begin to conform our lives to your word so that we can become conformed to your image, like we see you in a mirror, that we've become like you from glory to glory, becoming more like you. Lord, I pray that as we go through the word this morning, that we see things that we can change to become more like you. We know that you want us to become more like you, and that you're empowering us and helping us to be changed and conformed into your image. That it's not something that we have to fight you to get, but that we have to fight ourselves with your help to become more like you. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We trust you that you will help us to conform to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Well, we've been going through the life and teachings of Jesus. We've gone through the baptism. We've gone through his temptation in the wilderness. We've gone through him going around preaching and him bringing in his disciples to begin to follow him. And he's been going around healing people and blessing them, and all these crowds are starting to come to him. This is within the first year of his ministry. He's going strong. People are really getting excited because, well, you know what? People are getting healed. People are getting set free. Demons are being cast out. Wow, God's on the move in Israel. There's a revival. Yeah. And people are excited. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, seeing the multitude, he went up onto a mountain, and when he was seated with his disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, pause, comment. So, as a traveling ministers a lot of times will preach the same message in place to place. We find that there is a duplicate message in Luke. It's not the same one. It's not the same one, because if you notice, it says that he goes up onto the mountain in this one, and the other ones, it says he's in the plains. It's in a different place. He's in a different place. But he preaches the same message. So this is a message that he went around preaching from place to place to place. If you listen to certain ministers, they have a message that you will find encapsulated in just about every message that they bring forward. You will hear that revelation, that truth that God has laid upon their heart to give. You know, if you listen to Andrew Womack, it's about the righteousness that we have in Christ. It seems like he always will get around to that righteousness, that we are righteous in Christ, and that it's not based on us. It's the grace by faith that we are saved. There is that truth. If you listen to Kenneth Hagin, it's always about faith. He always brings it back to faith, because that's the message that God had given him to deliver. Jesus was given a message. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And he listed out what God had anointed him to do. And one of those was to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. So here he is. He's preaching the good news of God. Back into the message, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love that one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, wow. There's more. I know there's more, but I'm going to stop right there. We're going to talk about some of this. Jesus is telling us. Now remember, Jesus is the expressed image of the Father. Jesus said, I don't say anything that the Father hasn't said. Or I say what the Father tells me to say, and I do what the Father tells me to do. So this is what God the Father is saying. Now, we can have confidence in this because unlike a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament and a lot of the ministers in the Old Testament and the priests, Jesus wasn't fallible. He was in perfect communion with God. There wasn't that opposition between him and God that we find so often in our own lives where we are in opposition to God. Jesus was never in opposition to God. So here he is, and he's saying, this is what God is saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourned. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. He's saying these are the people that God blesses, that they are blessed. Now, I decided to take a little bit of a slant off of this and talk about what does the world consider blessed? You know, this is what he's saying. In the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, these are the ones that are blessed. In God's eyes, these are the ones that are blessed. But in the world, so now I'm going to give you some counterpoints, what the world would say. Now, I don't say that these are perfect. These are just ones that, you know, I put together off of the top of my head. So, but I think they get the point across. The world would say, blessed are the rich, for they rule. The world would say, blessed are those who laugh, for they don't have a care. You know, the world would say, oh, look at these people. They've got everything. You know, they're out there having fun, doing everything. They just have so much joy in life. They don't have a care in the world. The world would say, blessed are the self-confident, for they have whatever they desire. All you got to do is believe and you can have it. You just got to believe in yourself. You just got to. That's what the world says. You just gotta know what you want, and you just gotta go for it. That's the world. That's not what Jesus is saying. Blessed are those who will game the system, for they have without putting effort into it. The world would say, blessed are the shrewd, for they can't be conned. Oh, you can't take me. I know the game. I know every trick there is in the book. I know them because I created half of them. The world says, you've got to be shrewd. You got to know how to play the game. That's how you're blessed. You know what's going on. That's the world. The world says, blessed are the proud in heart, for they'll see the things that they want. The world would say, blessed are the rebellious, for they bring forth change. That one actually was a bit of a revelation. I think God put that one in there intentionally. There's something that that needs to be said. Rebellion doesn't come from God. It never has and never will. Having a rebellious heart and a rebellious spirit, if you feel that, you know it's not of God. And we see that in churches. Where do you think church splits come from? Rebellion has snuck in. Well, they're not doing it right. What, God's not big enough that he can't deal with his own minister? Why don't you trust God? If I'm out of order and I'm doing something wrong, why don't you ask God to fix me? Why don't you ask God to straighten me out? Why don't you pray for me? Because maybe the devil's messing in my life and he's got me. Maybe. Maybe it could be as simple as that. Or maybe I'm hearing something that you're not hearing. And you need to get your heart right. Rebellion doesn't come from God. You say, well, we need to have these people out there. You've got to push against the man. You've got to push against. There is a strong desire for rebellion right now in our country. Yeah. You've all felt it. You've all been around. You've sensed it. I can guarantee you've sensed it. Maybe you haven't noticed it, but it's there. There is this anger, this violence that's wanting to rise up even within the people of God. Say, you don't have the right. Be very careful with that. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be obedient to a fault with the government. I'm saying be careful of your attitude, because rebellion doesn't come from God. You can choose to resist without being rebellious. The world would say, blessed are those who persecute the righteous, for they shall cause our conscience to not be convicted. The world will love those who will come against those who stand for righteousness. You know, it's just, this is the way the world thinks. This is the way God thinks. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It says poor in spirit, not poor. Not those who don't have any money, but those who are poor in spirit. It means that they have no wealth or reservoir in and of themselves in their spirit. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is for them. Because we recognize we don't have it. Those who are poor in the spirit recognize that they don't have it, and they long to have that spiritual wealth, which is the kingdom of God. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's for those of us who recognize that we are without, that we have no relationship with God. We have no wealth in God. And so we come to him and he fills us. The kingdom of heaven is for us. Because you can't, you won't desire, you don't want something that you don't know that you're without. Somebody in Africa who lives in the jungles isn't interested in a car. Because you can't get anywhere in a car in the jungle. You have to walk everywhere. So he's not poor. Because he doesn't know that he's without. You have to know that you're without to know that you need something. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we are sad, if we mourn for what's going on in the world and the wickedness in the world, and we are convicted in our hearts and we long to see things right, it says we can be comforted knowing that God's got it under control. He's got it in hand. He has the answer. It's Jesus. But we mourn for what we see around us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek is not small thinking of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself as nothing. It's not thinking of yourself as nothing. It's understanding who you are. Knowing that you're not great, but you're not nothing either. It's having a good perspective of yourself. For they shall inherit the earth. If we begin to understand who we are, truly see who we are, and not be concerned about being more or looking at being less, it says that we will inherit the earth. I mean, that's not the way that the world thinks. God is happy to give you the earth. He wants us to have a right perspective, not as rulers exalted above everybody else, but as the people of God who are here to be a blessing and to serve others. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who seek to look to see righteousness fulfilled in the earth, for they will be filled. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness and you seek to bring it about and you long and desire, you'll get it. You'll get righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You reap what you sow. If you're merciful, you receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure. unstained with guilt of anything, free from every admixture of what is false, free from every admixture of what is false. That's what pure is. So you don't, you're unstained from guilt. I love that one, because if we're pure in heart, then we're unstained from the guilt. We all deal with guilt for things in our past, things that we wish we would have done, things that we wish we wouldn't have done, and then also things that we currently are doing. I wish I was more this. I wish I was more that. I wish I hadn't have done this. I wish I, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. Why? Because the devil's the accuser of the brethren, and he's always there speaking to your ear, telling you how terrible you are. And the minute you do something wrong, the devil's there to point out you did it wrong. You're a terrible, stinking sinner. God can't love you. But John, the Apostle John, says that if our heart condemns us, he is greater than that. He's greater than that. And that if we ask for forgiveness, he is faithful and just to do it. Pure in heart. I mean, we all want to see God. Well, I really want to see God. Maybe not. Maybe you don't. I do. I want to see him, and I know I'll see him one day. I know that I will see him face to face one day. I mean, I kind of like to see him here one day, but if I don't, I know I'll see him. I want to be pure in heart. You know one thing that's great about being pure in heart? Is that you don't have all these things holding you back when you're trying to ask God for something. You don't have the guilt. You don't have your inadequacies. It really removes that as a stumbling block and causes us to just believe and trust. To be unstained with the guilt of anything, free from every admixture of what is false. We're always dealing with mixtures. They're always adding things in, and we need to work at getting them out, purifying. And how do we purify? The Word. We keep applying things to the Word. We keep looking at the Word. What does the Word say? And how does it apply to my life? How does it apply to who I am? How can I become more like Christ? How can the Word help me to walk out that which God has called me to do? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You want to be called a son of God? Be a peacemaker. Not a meddler. Not a busybody, a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker sometimes means holding your peace and saying nothing. Sometimes being a peacemaker means that you say the unpleasant thing that needs to be said to illuminate what is true and right in a situation. You want to be called the Son of God? Then don't be surprised when you're treated like the Son of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you stand up for Jesus Christ and you stand up for the truth of God, and because of that you are persecuted, know this, the kingdom of heaven is yours. It's yours. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yeah, most of us don't want that. Or do we? Maybe we need to start changing our mindset. Maybe we need to stop thinking about things, not wanting to be uncomfortable and not wanting to have difficult things. Because the reality is life is difficult. No matter how you slice it, no matter how life goes, there's difficulties in life. I mean, I've had difficulties. So obviously everybody else has had difficulties. No, we all have had difficulties. You just listen to people. Talk to them. Talk about their lives. You talk to anyone, and they have difficulties. Their difficulties are different than yours, and maybe you think their difficulties aren't that big a deal, but to them, it probably is. You're not them. You don't suffer the same problems that they suffer, the same weaknesses. But if we begin to take what God says is blessed, and we begin to apply it to our lives, then we can also expect that what God told us would happen, that we will be persecuted. We should expect, if we believe the word, then we should expect to be persecuted because of righteousness' sake, because we're choosing to uphold the word, because we're choosing to glorify Jesus, because we're choosing to walk in these precepts of being poor in spirit and mourning and looking to be meek and looking to be hunger and thirst for righteousness, looking to be merciful, looking to be pure in heart, looking to be peacemakers. If we choose to exalt these things, like the world exalts the things that it thinks are blessed. You know, they think it's blessed to be rich. And they look at, I want to be like that, I just need to get money. If we started to look at it and begin to see the things in the kingdom that are worth pursuing and say, that's it, that's what I'm going for, how would that change our lives? How would that change the world? Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus is speaking to his disciples who are listening to his word and taking it in. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If salt ceases to become salt, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It's good for nothing. But he does say one thing. You throw it out and trample it underfoot. You know what salt's good for if it's good for nothing? Killing everything. You know, you wanna destroy a field, you wanna destroy a garden, you wanna destroy a plot of land, you throw salt on it. Nothing will grow. It'll kill it all. We are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. You are. Year by year, since the beginning, the devil has constantly been trying to put the light out of the church and of Christians. He's used many tactics. He's used many, many maneuvers. There's nothing new that our brothers and sisters through the centuries haven't encountered. And there's nothing new that probably the first century church didn't deal with. The devil will try to frighten us. He'll try to bully us. He'll try to coerce us. He'll try to bribe us. Try to con us. And he'll try to lull us into a sleep. He'll make us comfortable so that we stop being worried about the world. We stop being worried about what's going on out there. Or he'll make us feel so overwhelmed that we don't feel like we can do anything. But the reality is that without us, this world is doomed. Why? Because we are the only representatives of Jesus. This world is God. I mean, not us, but the church in general. Last year, in December, I was at a prayer meeting. This is just before the whole COVID thing kind of was starting to come on the scene and everything. And we're praying about it. Actually, it was it must have been the first part of February. And everything was kind of getting locked down, and we're praying about it. Praying for the church, the word of the Lord came to me and said that the world will not get past this unless the church shines its light. It's not the light of we're not going to wear masks. You know, we're not going to social distance. The light is Jesus Christ. And it's faith in him that even in the midst of difficult times, we don't have to be afraid, because it's fear that's motivating this thing. And they need to have confidence. The world has a spirit of fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to stress sound mind. Sound mind means that we're not swayed by every doctrine that comes out. Every little new thing that's coming out in the Christian community about this or that or this is going on. A sound mind based upon the Word of God. You know, there's always going to be those things that are going to look exciting and be fun. But we need to say the word is more important to us than everybody's opinion. What does the word say? That God so loved us that he gave his son. You know what? And in his son, it says that by his stripes we are healed. And if there's anyone that's sick among you, call the elders of the church and they will lay hands on you. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Pray those that know how to pray the prayer of faith. Call on those that know how to pray the prayer of faith. And they'll lay hands on you and you will recover. That's the promise. You will recover. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. The salt is a preserver and it's a savorer. It makes things exciting to do and to have. It's no good to have bacon if it doesn't have any salt in it. Yuck. You know? Try eating potatoes without salt on them. Mm-mm. You know? There's some things you just don't want to eat without salt. Just no. Not even worth eating. Some things in life are just not worth doing. When there's not that savor. And we're the light. How are people going to know? How are they going to see? How are they going to be able to know what they need to do without having light? Without seeing the light? They can't. We are the light. That's why we're the lighthouse. God has called us to be lights in our community. He's called us to shine our light wherever we go. You are the light of the world. The love of God pours forth out of you to be a witness in this world, to let them know that God cares for them. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just need to be there. (Clears throat) As Jesus was, so are we. Being conformed into his image from glory to glory. From glory to glory. We see him in a mirror. And that's what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to look at him. You know, what do you do when you look in the mirror? You know, you begin to examine. Yeah, I got this is it over here. I got this thing going on over here, you know. Maybe did I get all the hair around my ear or do I have some sticking up? You know, you begin to examine. You look at every minute detail. Do we examine Jesus and say, this is who I am? This is who I am. Because that's what he's wanting. He's wanting us to identify ourselves with him because that is the seed that is in us. And he wants us to become as he is. Well, I don't know if I can. He said you could. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God who was there when everything was made, that nothing was made, that it was made without him, says that you can be like him. That ends that debate. I mean, if you want to argue, then you argue with God. You argue with the Word of God. Because he said you could. It's up to us to then choose to become like him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have given us such great and precious promises. Thank you, Lord, that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you long and you desire to see us come into the fullness, to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, becoming the fullness of who he was and is in this world. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us alone, but that you gave us your Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pursue this revelation, to pursue the truth of your word, that says that we are conformed into your image. To begin to realize what it is that we have in you. Lord, we love you. We bless you and we honor you. And give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful week. You're blessed.